Praise God. Father, we give you praise and adoration. Thank you so much for an opportunity to hear your word. We receive revelation. We receive illumination by your spirit. Thank you because you alone are glorified and we are edified in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, guys. We have been on the series, The Prayer Life in Christ. Today we'll just be coming to an end with the series, and we trust God for clarity. We trust God we're able to cover as much as we can. Just instructed to start Bible interpretation, so we're going to pause the prayer life in Christ for now. But I'll encourage you, if you've not been following or listening to this series, I'll encourage you to get your hands on it, and you will be blessed, not just as a colloquial phrase, but in the fact, you will actually be blessed. That is, your mind will come to a glimpse of what exactly prayers ought to be in the New Testament. You know, we established from Ephesians verse 1 how that Christ has already blessed us with spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ Jesus. All right, how Jesus has blessed us already with every spiritual blessing, or how God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. You know, let's look at it. Ephesians 1. All right, Ephesians 1. Praise God. Excuse me. All right, Ephesians 1 says, start from verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. So we said the word places. The word places is not in the original. So is that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ Jesus. So the blessing of Jesus Christ, or the blessing of God, is Jesus Christ. So we have every of God's blessing already. That's why I use the word has. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has. So it's a past tense, all right? So God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So we can say that we already have every blessing that God wanted to give us by the fact that we have Christ. So if I want to have a blessing from God, I would say, oh God, bless me, I need more blessing. I would have to rather acknowledge that I already have all the blessings I need in Christ. So every blessing that you need is in Christ. Now listen to this. He says God has blessed us already. So he doesn't just say he has blessed us. All right, so it wouldn't be, oh, there was a blessing for 2,000 years ago, and there ought to be a blessing for 1,000 years ago, and there ought to be a blessing for 2 years ago, or there ought to be a blessing for last year, or a blessing for this year, and then another blessing for next year, or another blessing for the upper year, and all that, and the subsequent years, you know, blessings in series, you know, blessings by portals, blessings in different dimensions, blessings in different realms and dimensions and degrees and centigrades and Fahrenheit. Hallelujah. Well, you know, obviously that's just sarcasm. But you see, it tells us that he has already blessed us with every, that is to say that God has blessed every one of us who believes in Christ with every spiritual blessing. So if he tells you that he has blessed you with every spiritual blessing, all right? Right there. He has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavens, in Christ. Now, when he says in the heavens, he's not saying there is a heaven somewhere and then there's Christ. It just simply means in Christ. Now, we're going to address that when we are doing a series on new creation realities. We're going to define all the concepts, heaven, in Christ, all that stuff. Identification in Christ, who you are in Christ, and but as God will lead us in this ministry. Hallelujah. Praise God. Please, I would like you to just ignore the background noise if it's too much. It's probably going to last for a few more minutes. Okay? Praise God. Right. So now, it says, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens, in Christ Jesus. So, you also understand that there are certain things that you do not need to ask God for in prayers. You don't need to ask God for them. If it's anything that is spiritual, you don't need to ask God. God, I need you to give me more power, for instance. That's a wrong prayer to pray as a believer. Look at it. Look at the word. You see, no matter how you feel, no matter what it looks like, no matter how the experiences are so engrossed, you are so engrossed in the experience, and no matter how distressing things might be, or how contrary things might seem to what the word seems to be saying, listen to me. You ought to understand that the word of God is the truth. Praise God. You need to understand that circumstances are simply merely circumstances that try to test, all right, your faith in Christ. Now, if you want to understand what I just said, you have to go to our series on eternal salvation in Christ, which is also running with this series. All right, so you can listen to that. I will explain what I just said, what I mean by test your faith in Christ. It's not about testing your faith like God tested Abraham. No. All right, so you see, they're simply testing your understanding or your conviction of the word, because the word is final authority. The word ought to shape your reality, not the world. Hallelujah. Romans 12 verse 2 says, be not confirmed. Confirmed, God. Affirm me. Praise God. Let's look at it quickly. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 and verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So it tells you that the way to bring God's word to be a reality is by renewing your mind in it. Because the word of God is God's own reality. God's own reality is the reality. The truth of the word is found in Christ. The truth of the word, or the truth of this world, ought to submit to the truth in the word. So if you think for any reason that you are not righteous, or that you are not holy, or that you do not have power, for instance, Colossians 2 verse 9, it says, and you are complete in him. It says, dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's verse 9. Then verse 10 now says, and you are complete in him. So obviously that was referring to teaching, that, you know, we ought to know Christ, what Christ has done for us and all that stuff. So it tells us that we are complete in him. So if anything seems to be contrary to that, you ought to refute that by the word, by affirming what the word says, that I am complete in Christ. If someone tells you, you are not beautiful, yes, that's not true. I am righteous, I'm holy, I'm pure. I am the handwork of Christ. Bible says in Ephesians 2 verse 10, it says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. In Ephesians 4 and verse 24, it then says that we are, let's look at it, Ephesians 4, quickly. It says, And that we put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So, what it means is that God's image is, or God, we are created like God. I look like my Father. I am born of Him. So, First John will say, as He is, so are we in this world. Hallelujah. All right, 1 John 4:17. As He is, so are we in this world. So, I don't need to allow men's opinions or the world's opinions to define who I am or define my circumstances. You think that you're strong. You say to yourself, oh, I'm the righteousness of God. And then you see circumstances that seem to be trying to make you doubt the word of God. But you see, you need to affirm the word, because God's word is true. Someone say, how can you say God's word is true? Should I just believe you because he said God's word is true? Yes. Hallelujah. Obviously, we have the word of God before us. We have the word. I'm not just telling you. It's written. Praise God. It's written in God's word. It's written in God's word. You know, many atheists today, they say, how do you know the Bible is true? You need to find faith in God's word. Praise God. Find faith in what? In God's word. Find faith. You see, the Christian walk is a walk of faith. It's not necessarily about proving things scientifically and all that stuff. No. The Christian faith is actually, it's not by proving things scientifically and all logically and trying to make sense to people. Yeah, it should make sense, obviously. But it might not make sense to the natural man. That is to the man who is looking after logic. You need to find faith in God's word for it to become a reality to you. The person who gave you the word died and resurrected from the dead. That's enough reason to understand that this is not a joke. The worst, the most stupid arguments people make is to attempt. That Satan is very stupid. He's very, very daft. It's to make people to claim that they know that Jesus never existed. That's stupid. Very, very crazy thing to say. In True Wine, we don't only believe that Jesus is alive, or that he existed, or that he exists. And it's not just that he existed. That is just history. We know he's alive. He's risen. And he's even teaching you right now in a man. Praise God. He's alive. Because the word is taught and the spirit is demonstrated. We are alive in Christ. Hallelujah. You need to believe God's word and then it becomes the truth to you. This is not about whatever is your truth. That's rubbish. I'm saying you believe the God's word and then it now becomes your reality. And that reality I speak of is the reality. It's just that the reality has not become people's reality. People are finding reality in falsehood. Alright? Finding reality in other things. Finding reality in themselves. Outside God. Not knowing God. How about shit? But you see, God has assured us as believers that every blessing is found in Christ. Hallelujah. So we have every blessing in heavens in Christ Jesus. All right, that's established. So someone say, I don't need to pray again. I don't need to ask God because I already have everything. So what's the point of praying? And we've established that there's a reason to pray. There are reasons to pray, and it's not to ask God for power. It's not to ask God for favor. Hey, listen, we don't ask God for those things. Does that mean I can't pray for God to give me, I can't trust God for favor? No. What I just said is a different thing than what I just said right now. What I previously said is different than what I just said. All right? There's no topping up in any spiritual blessing. Let's look at the spiritual blessings once again. We see that he talks about look at verse 4. How that we are made holy. He has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love and all that stuff. So we saw all these things and we established that it's not just about having Christ. You know, some people, I wonder sometimes, why do we get so excited about things that are not necessarily true without taking proper time to understand its entirety? He says, it's a spiritual blessing. So Paul is now saying in verse 15, that after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So why would Paul pray for people? Why? He says that the eyes of your understanding, verse 18, being enlightened. So there's the spiritual blessing which we already have in Christ, and then there is now the laying hold of, or there is now the experiential part, or should we say the materialization of what we have in Christ. Now, this is not to say you have a spiritual house in heaven, then you translate it to spiritual house and physical house. No. It refers to what we have as it regards eternal things. That is the forgiveness of sins. All right? The acceptance in him. And then us in reality understanding that. It's not to say you transfer holiness and the holiness translates in the physical realm to become husband or wife. No. Or to become promotion. No. It's to say that holiness which is spiritual that you have, you now come in the physical. Your mind has now understood that you are in true or for a truth holy. You need to, it has to be true to you that you are holy. A believer that doesn't know he's holy needs to grow, needs to pray. Hallelujah. He says, I pray that you may understand these things. Praise the Lord. Praise God. So that's why Paul is praying. That's why Paul is praying. For you to have an understanding, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, let me know too, what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the sin greatness of his power. So to know what you have in Christ. That is why Paul is praying for these people. Hallelujah. Look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. So we'll just continue from where we stopped. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Right. We saw all this. Now before we go there, let's look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2. First Peter 2 and verse 21. It says, okay, let's start from verse 18. Servants be subject. Are you there? First Peter 2 verse 18 says, servants be subject to your masters with all fear, not only in the good and gentle, but also in the forward. Also to the forward, excuse me. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endures grief, suffering and suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your own faults you take it patiently? But if when you do well you suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. Now next verse says, for hereunto you were called because of Christ, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Right? Or he goes on and say, who did no sin? And so basically telling us how that the life of Christ is ought to be a reflection of what we have. Look at 1 John verse 4. I think we made a reference to that earlier. 1 John chapter 4, just after 2 Peter. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. Now, many often use this as a new creation reality, but that's not really true. You have to use it contextually. Verse 17 says, herein is our love made perfect, because as he so are we in this world. I'll read that again. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Right now, he's not saying, he's not necessarily telling you a new creation reality. He's actually instructing us if you read it in context. All right, so let's look at verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God, because many false spirits are going to the world. Hereby we know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ is come in the flesh and is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now it's already in the world. Right? You have God, my little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you and he that is in the world. this is on another verse that we use for motivation, chanting, and greater is he that is in me, that is in you. Praise God. So the greater that is in us is the understanding of the truth of the word, that Christ came in the flesh. Okay, because greater is he that is in you. All right, that is the Christ that died and resurrected and lives in us than he that's in the world. Who is in the world? The Antichrist, the spirit of the Antichrist. So that's what it means there. Right, not your boss in the office and all that stuff. Praise God. The people in your village are planning against you. Praise God. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. But does it mean that Christ is not greater than our prince? Obviously, but that's not what this scripture is saying. Praise God. Verse 5, they are of the world. This therefore speak they of the world, and the world hear them. Can you not see what they're talking about? You see the world, what they speak, the Antichrist message. Okay. We are of God. He that knoweth that God heareth us. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and spirit of error. Believe, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth God is born of God and knoweth God. For he that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. In this was manifested love of God towards us, because he has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us and love is perfected in us. Hereby we know him that dwells in him and he in us, because he has given us his spirit, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to the Savior, and sent to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him. And we have known and believed the love of God God has for us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God. So what has he been talking about here? For us to dwell in the truth of the word, that is the love he's referring to. Dwelling, so he's instructing us to dwell in the truth of the word, all right? So he now says, hearing is love made perfect. What love? When we dwell in the truth, that we may have boldness of in the day of judgment, because as he is. So we'll have boldness in the day of judgment because we will be dwelling in love here, because as he is, so are we. That is, so we keep on being. Alright? It's not a new creation reality. So because as he is, so are we in this world. So how is it so are we? That Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, so we also ought to lay our life for one another. Do you understand? So as Christ loved us, so we also ought to love one another. So as he is, so are we. It's an instruction, all right, for love walk. It's an instruction to we remain in the truth. All right. So but the point here is that we are imitators of Christ. Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 verse, let's look at it. 1 Corinthians 11 quickly. 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11, look at 1. It says, be therefore followers of me, even as I also am followers of even as I also am of Christ. All right, so Paul is now saying, follow me as I follow Christ. Okay, so we are really imitators of Jesus Christ, the man Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 1 will say that which we have seen, which that which was from in the beginning, which our eyes have seen, which our hands have handled, the word of life, all right, which was manifested to us. So it refers to the man Jesus Christ, that man of Galilee. Also, it tells us that we ought to live our lives just like the man Jesus Christ. All right, praise God. I'm trying to explain something, because so many of us need to understand that the new creation reality has not taken away the place of labor or the place of prayers. Someone, you see someone praying vehemently, praying with force, praying for a long time, praying vehemently, and you just reckon that the person does not know the new creation. Say, he does not know the word. In fact, you are the one that doesn't know the word. Because if you read the word, you see all through, as you have seen last week's, in past weeks, we've seen all through the book of Acts, seen from the first of all, from the four gospels, seen through the book of Acts, and even seen through the epistles, how that the church continued in prayers, Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, and in prayers, and in breaking of bread. They continued steadfastly. Acts chapter 6, let's look at it. It says, but we'll give ourselves, Acts chapter 5, we'll give ourselves to prayers and to the ministry of the word. In Acts 3, from Acts 2, you see from Acts 2, sorry, in Acts 1, you see from Acts 1 in Acts 2 that they were continued in one accord in prayers. That's before the day of Pentecost. Amen? So the blessings we have in Christ has not taken away the place of prayers. It is for us to experientially understand what we have in Christ, and for us to, because of that understanding, now be able to relate with the earth in God's own understanding. That is, from a place of righteousness, in the understanding, revelation, knowledge of righteousness, I'll be able to relate in this world as God relates, or as Christ relates with this world. This is not about you amassing to some material virtue, even though material virtues are good, but you don't need God for all that. That is not why Christ blessed you. That is not the blessing you have in Christ. Those who have material blessings do not need God for that. They do not need to be saved to have material blessings. Because before Jesus Christ came, men had all that. So the blessing you have in Christ should not be attached to material things. It is not an entitlement. Neither is the material progress a show of God's favor. Hallelujah. The moment you miss this, you miss everything. Paul instructs Timothy. He says, those who preach that gain is godliness. All right? That's not what we preach. That's not what Paul is teaching here. The spiritual blessings, someone say that the spiritual blessings, you're not going to translate it. That's not true. The spiritual blessings is spiritual. That is righteous, holy, accepted, seated, washed. Hallelujah. These are not things that can be corrupted. These are things that are eternal. and us understanding, it says the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you might now know what you have in Christ. So why? That's why in chapter 2, it now says, so that it says, you who have been dead in sins and trespasses, when in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the peace of the power of the air, the spirit now works in children of disobedience. It says, who are by nature the children of wrath. But it says, God who is rich in mercy, for the great love wherewith he has loved us, has quickened us together with Christ, just by grace are you saved, and has raised us together with him to be seated in the heavenly places, in the heavenly places, far above all principalities. I know that's in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So sorry. In the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you understand? So it's the same flow telling you that you ought to understand what you have in Christ, so that you can walk accordingly. That's why in the verse 10, it then tells you we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, not unto wealth, not unto marriage, not unto all that stuff. No. It's unto good works. As he is, so are we. That is the blessing we have. It is found in Christ's work, in the ministry. Anyone that begins to attach things to ministry other than the ministry is not preaching the doctrine of Christ. He's preaching heresy, pure error. That's error. Hallelujah. Are you there? So now, I need us to pay close attention to this, because it's quite important you get this. He says we are imitators of Christ. So this is why we ought to pray. Christ, look at this. It says in Hebrews chapter 5. Look at Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So say, I'm blessed in Christ. Say, I'm blessed in Christ. And that's why I will live like Christ. You know, Jesus Christ gave us his own spirit. That is to say that you are in this earth as though Christ is on this earth. You have the spirit of Christ inside of you. There is nothing that Christ did that you can't do. Everything he did, you ought to do. He gave us his spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is not new creation reality. Now, Hebrews 5 verse 7, we say, look at it. Let's start from verse 6, verse 5. It says, so Christ also glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he said unto him, thou art my son, this day have I begotten you. Look at verse 7. That's Christ, speaking of Christ. It says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong cries and tears, unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard of him that he feared. So you see, this is something to note about Christ. All right, that he died, and in his death, he gave us life eternal. But you see, in his life here on earth, he prayed in agony. Causes strong crying. That word strong refers to something that was done with passion, as though you are using force. Alright? Christ glorified not himself. Alright? Glorified not himself. But he prayed. He didn't say, I'm God. I have the fullness of God inside of me. No. That you have the fullness of God inside of you is the reason to pray. Let me explain what that statement means. So see, if I have because the mind, you're coming from a place where we are only taught to pray for what we don't have. We are only praying to ask God to give us something we don't have. Prayers, in fact, from our CRSA, prayers is getting things from God. Listen, we ought to come to understanding that the scriptures can only mean what it meant. And every other meaning you give to it is up to you, because the scriptures explains itself. Hallelujah. The scriptures ought to explain itself, because you're coming from a place that, I pray because I don't have righteousness. I pray to ask God for forgiveness. I pray to ask God for mercy. I pray to ask God for, a breakthrough. I pray for deliverance from devils. I pray for all that stuff. I pray for God to protect my mother, to protect my father. I pray for that's not how to pray. You don't pray to have. You pray because of what you have. So the prayers would be so that you can lay hold and experience, that is, you can for sure understand who you are in Christ, which will then translate to how you relate here on earth, and as we'll see, and how it translates to men doing the work of Christ, and how it translates to evangelism, how it translates to all men being saved. Hallelujah. It's not about things. It's about the ministry. Am I saying we can't pray for things? If you are very bad a listener, you would interpret what I just said that way. Listen carefully. We ought to understand the place of prayers. You will find out that throughout the four Gospels, Jesus Christ prayed not to have anything from God, but he prayed so that the will of the Father be done. He started that by, in Luke chapter 4, it says, "Teach us how to pray, Rabbi." That's in Luke chapter 4. Matthew 6. "Teach us how to pray," he says, "Our Father who art in heaven." Many use that as a template for prayers. That's fine, but it's good when you understand the template itself. But Jesus Christ was actually teaching them how to pray the right way. He says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come." He's not asking you to, he's not giving you lists of what to pray for. He's actually telling you what to pray about. And all those things from hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, your as it is in heaven, give us this day our sufficient bread. That's what daily bread is. Not referring to what you eat every day. All right? A sufficient bread. Jesus Christ called himself the bread of life. That's the bread that you eat and you will never grow hungry. All right? So he's asking them, your will be done on earth. What's the will of the Father? In John, so he says, "This is the will of the Father who has sent me, that anyone that looks upon the Son and believes in him," he says, "he will have eternal life and he will raise him up by the last day." That's John chapter 6. Do you understand? So actually what Jesus was teaching them there was how to pray that the will of God be done as it regards life eternal, as it regards the ministry. All right? So he's not praying so that God will give him anything. That is the prayer life of Christ. Some say, "Oh, but he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all things that he wants to be added unto you." Maybe that's the one that that's your translation. Hallelujah. I hope this is not already too much for you. Hallelujah. No. You see, prayers is because of ministry. All right? That scripture, Matthew 6, 33, obviously, is still in the same context. Just read from Matthew 5 and see what he's saying. Read on. All Jesus was saying is focus on the eternal things. The natural things are added to you, whether you are in Christ, whether you are born again or not born again. Natural things come anyways. You understand? Your Father knows you have a need of them. It's not that because you seek God, then you have material things. No, that's not what he was saying. He says all these things will be added unto you. It's not about you asking, or it does not mean you should not ask. Don't get it wrong. So he's just saying that natural things will be added unto you anyways. Because in previous chapters, he had been talking about how that we ought to be imitators of the Father who causes his rain to shine, who is good to the unjust and all that stuff. That's in Luke. And then he now tells you that in Matthew 5, he tells you, love your enemies, bless those that curse you, pray for them that spitefully use you and all those things. So that you might be the children of your Father which is in heaven. So it now says our Father which is. So he's just telling you how to have the Father's mind in your heart. Then it goes to Matthew chapter 6. That's the Father's prayer I just talked about. And then it goes down to talk about the Gentiles seeking things. But you don't seek things. You seek the kingdom. Do you understand? What is the kingdom? That the man Jesus Christ was going to die, and then after his resurrection, men will receive eternal life. And that's why we are still praying for men to receive eternal life. All right? Are you there? Do you understand that now? Okay. If you don't understand that, you can just take the recording, rewind it, right, a little bit. So Hebrews 5 says Jesus Christ prayed vehemently. That's the word, strong, forcefully. You know, we said obviously that you don't pray like that where people are around. You have to at times withdraw yourself. You see how the Bible speaks of Jesus withdrawing himself to pray. You saw that last week. Praise God. Are you there? So we ought to be imitators of Christ. Someone say, "Ah, Jesus Christ prayed for us. We don't need to pray. He's fasted for us. Just in fast." So I like to tell people that I say, "Okay, Jesus Christ rose and died, died and rose for us. So that means we'll not die and rise again. Do you understand? Praise God. Don't mind my mistake there. So you see how that's not a correct teaching of the word. Praise God. Praise God. So now, what do we pray for? How do we pray? Huh? Let's look at that quickly. The first thing to note about what to pray. Please, I want you to understand. Okay. There's a way to pray in the New Testament. Because we just said God has already blessed us in the heavens in Christ Jesus and given us all things in Christ. What are the all things? Deliverance from sin, life eternal, acceptance, sons of God, that we are without blame before Him in love. Just look at Ephesians, all right? Colossians will tell you you're completing Him. Chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, you're completing Him. All right? Tells you all that. In fact, everything in the Bible, in the New Testament especially, lets you know that you are lacking of nothing in Christ. However, this is the reason to pray. Firstly, you pray the Word of God. What is the Word of God? The Word of God as revealed in the New Testament. Not just going to any scripture of the Old Testament and say, it's the Word of God. For instance, you might want to pray, "Oh, Father, you said in your word, silver and gold is yours. Give me silver, oh Lord. I receive silver." No. In Bible interpretation, we'll begin to debunk a lot of biblical blunders that we make in church by quoting scriptures out of their context. You get to see that all these scriptures were actually referring to Christ. That one I just quoted now, "Silver and gold is mine." If you read the previous chapter verses, you discover that he was talking about the glory of his house, not the glory of gold and silver. That glory, that silver and that gold was actually the man in Christ or the finished work of Christ. That's the gold and silver. They say, give us power to make wealth. You remember the God in your days, give it to you power to make wealth. Read it in context. Praise God. So you find that the scriptures actually refer to what Christ will do, not material things. Praise God. So now, we pray the written word as revealed in the epistles. I want you to stay on this safe spot. For me to explain why I just said pray the epistles or the epistolic prayers or the prayers found in Christ, that's the man Jesus Christ, what he prayed for, you would have to understand Bible interpretation, and we are going to that series very soon. And this will go hand in hand with this, and just be glorified. Amen. So now, let's look at it. Praise God. We pray the word. We pray the word. We pray the word. Look at Romans chapter 12. Find out how they prayed. How they prayed. Right? Now, these are the apostles that are teaching you how to pray. These are the guys that wrote that you are blessed all spiritual blessings. So, what did Paul pray about? We're going to look at that all through the epistles. So, we're going to have to read so many scriptures right now. We're going to have to go on a journey. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. It says, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayers." Okay, let's start from verse 9. Start from verse 1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." So Paul is referring to, he's talking to who? The church. Who is he talking to? Unbelievers? No. Who is he talking to? The body of Christ or the brethren in Christ. It says, "by the mercy of God." All right? Now, back to verse 9. "Let love," is still the same instruction he's giving them. "Let love without dissimulation, without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil and cleave to what is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." It says, "rejoicing in hope, patient in what? Tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. continuing instant in prayer. So in the midst of tribulation, and for the love of Christ to be made, to be shared, to be communicated amongst the believers, prayers is made. So it's one thing for you to know that you have the love of God shed abroad in your heart, that God's love is inside of you, that you have the love of God, and for you to be able to manifest that love, for you to be able to share it, to really, really, really love people like Christ. That comes firstly from prayers. This is the written word. These are instructions on how to pray and what to pray. The moment you begin to ask God for Donald Trump to be the president, you are in trouble. That's big, big error. The moment you begin to say, God, change our government, you are in trouble. Oh. Hallelujah. You will find out from the scriptures that such prayers for the government, they were never made. Not even Jesus did that. They came to Jesus and said, look at our brothers, they are about to take our land. And then Jesus says, who made me a ruler and judge over your matters? I'm here to do the will of my Father. Now, what did Jesus engage in natural things? Of course, he did. He was a carpenter, for instance. But you see, as it regards spiritual things, they are always eternal in nature. And that is what we affirm in prayers. Natural things have their place. All right? Amen. And you see, it's good to understand that when we speak like this, it does not mean that you cannot believe God. Once again, I'm saying this for the umpteenth time, that you cannot believe God for material things. No. That's not what it means. All right? But you must allow the world to shape your Christian life. Anything you do outside the world is your own thing, though. Praise God. Look at Romans 15. Romans 15. It says 30 to 32. It says, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers for me. So it says that I may be delivered from them which do not believe in Judea, and they that are my service, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints. So they are praying for the minister of the word. They are praying for their pastor. You ought to pray for your pastor. These are things to pray about. It says that you may be delivered from them. I don't believe in Judea. You know, you don't just pray to God. God, I pray for my pastor who lives in Port Harcourt, Elimbu, Port Harcourt, River State, Nigeria. I pray for him that he will be delivered from them. I don't believe in Judea. No, that's wrong to pray. It's for you to learn the lesson for what he's saying. All right? So you pray for your minister. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. 1 Thessalonians. Look at 5. Sorry, I think I made a mistake there. Second Thessalonians. I don't know how I wrote First Thessalonians. Why did I make that mistake? All right. Verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. Verse 25, brethren, pray for us. Pray for who? For ministers. And it says, pray without ceasing. So when someone tells you to pray without ceasing, the moment you begin to judge someone that is praying for long hours and tell him that he doesn't know the word, it just tells you clearly that you are the one that doesn't know the word. You have not, Paul told you without ceasing. There's no point that God will ever say, my son, get up, it's done. It's time to listen to me. There's no prayers that is enough. There's no amount of prayers that is enough. Prayers can never be done too much. There's no stoppage time for prayers. Hallelujah. In the New Testament, too, where we are all of him and he's all of us. Hallelujah. Where we have all spiritual blessings in Christ. Where Christ has redeemed us. Hallelujah. Where we have joy. The well of eternal life. The assurance of salvation that will never ever come to condemnation. We can pray. Hallelujah. Praise God. We can always pray. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3. Look at it again. Finally, brethren, pray for us. These are men who are filled with the Holy Ghost. These are men who have all of God and God in all of them. Hallelujah. So, all right. Look at 3 verse 1. Brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. You see, so that the gospel will prevail. So that men will believe this gospel. That's why I do pray. It says, and be glorified even as it's with you. Imagine having men believing the gospel in the whole world. Come on. This is where men give themselves so that other men will receive this precious gift. Hayaba sakata yelebreden stoha. Oh, kana master. Ha! Knowing that, once you believe, as simple as believing the gospel, you have the Holy Ghost, you have eternal life, you can never die again, you can never come to condemnation. You will have the resurrection and the life inside of you, and that you will never die again. Even if you sleep, you'll be raised again in a glorious body, ever to be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Ever to be with the Lord. Ever to be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Ever to be with the Lord. Ever to be with the Lord. This is not just a Christian religious cliche. This is truth. This is God's reality. This is God's wisdom. This is the truth. This is God's life. This is Remedosa. Ha 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 ha. This is the word of God. This is what man needs that he does not yet understand. Man tends to find things, find fulfillment in things, in natural things. But you see, all that there is not all that meets the eyes and the sense and the five sense organs. No. Remember, we did not create ourselves. So that tells you that there are things beyond your power. And God tells you that if any man believes, there's a life after death. And that life is true life that God has ordained from the first, before creation, before the foundation of this world. That man, God wanted man to be in Christ. That's all God had wanted. You see, the plan of salvation is not an afterthought. It's not an afterthought. God didn't react to man's sin. Before man's sin, God already was planning salvation. That's the beginning that Genesis was speaking of. The beginning there is not the beginning of creation. No. Beginning there is beginning of God's plan of salvation. Sorry, beginning of God's execution of salvation. That's what Genesis is about. Genesis actually refers to the beginning of salvation. Do you understand? And we'll look at that in, if we don't look at it in Bible interpretation, which I don't think we would. If we do, that would be interesting. But if we don't, we would look at it into one or two other series. As God would lead, if God wills, right? That we pray for men to believe the gospel. That is what the beginning. That's been like that in the beginning. That men will believe the gospel, and that salvation will come to men. It's not the case of if they now sin again, God will get angry at them. God never punish them. Never, never. That punisher called sin has been disarmed. Imagine living a life of victory. It's not just about praying for yourself, praying for you too, praying for you, your promotion. That's very selfish. All those things, in fact, those are things you don't even tarry for. Those are things. Praise God. We'll look into all that later. All right? Are you there? Now, look at 1 Timothy 2 verse 1, where I was going to. 1 Timothy 2 verse 1. Are you blessed so far? Oh, this is blessing you. All right? 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. So he's telling you about prayers. And why should we pray? Now, quickly, the word intercession, I want to quickly correct that. Intercession, there is a word that means prayers. Many believers often erroneously call themselves intercessors. No, no. Actually, the only intercessor we have is Christ Jesus. Look at 1 John chapter 1. Excuse me. 1 John, quickly. Just want to quickly do something. 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. It says, "My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation, and he's the propitiation for our sins, and not for us only, but for all the sins of the world." Right? Excuse me. We have an advocate, Jesus Christ. Praise God. Are you there? Praise God. Now, I want you to turn to Hebrews, book of Hebrews. All right, let's just look at, not Hebrews, let's go at Romans 8. Before we go to Hebrews. Romans 8 and verse 34. Romans 8, 34 says, it says, "Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is at the right hand of God and also makes intercession for us." All right. Is that clear? The person that makes intercession is not human beings. It's not men in Christ. No, the intercessor is Christ. Look at Hebrews 7, verse 25. It says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him." You see, that intercession is as regards salvation. All right, intercession is for the forgiveness of sins, and any man does not do that. It says he never lives to make intercession for them. Right, so actually the word in 1 Timothy there refers to prayers, not say we are intercessors. No, you're not in any place to intercede. Hallelujah, praise God. So intercessions, there's a word prayer. So St. Paul says, I exhort that prayers be made for this, so that it says for kings, verse 2, and for all that an authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. Someone say, he's praying for kings and those in government, so that the good people will lead, and then the bad people, God will take them away, that the good party will lead, and then all that stuff. Hey, listen, both those that are in one party and those that are in another party, they are good people in both of them. Hallelujah. But you see, it says pray for all. He's not talking about he's not talking about politics. He's not talking about winning elections. All right? He's not talking about the peace in the country necessarily. No. Yes, he refers to... Yes, the prayers eventually will result in peace, or should result in the peace in the country. But that is not what the peace... Let's read further. What is he praying about? Let's see what he's praying about. You find out that this peace is not just a peace where all Muslims and Christians come together and they are singing Kumbaya, or that Ekanka and the white garment, and everybody is just coming together, and then we are all in peace. Oh, God has given us peace. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, for healing our land. No. God's business is in making men to be saved, unsaved men to be saved. God cannot transform any Muslim man except to believe the gospel. God cannot make a man that does not want to marry another person to marry him, to marry them. Hey, listen, some prayers are actually demonic. Go to last week's teaching. You find out that, look at verse 3. It says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." Look at now verse 4. It says, "Who will have all," can you see the prayers? "All men to be," what? To change the political parties, to stop corruption. No, to be saved. And to, that's the word and is the word kai in the Greek, which means that is to come to the knowledge of the truth. Look at the verse 9. It says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." That's why I said there's no intercessor there. The mediator there, the intercessor is Christ. We are not the mediators and intercessors. So we are, so that men will come to the gospel. So if you are praying for anything in Nigeria, so most people say, there's killing. Yeah, you are so insensitive. You're not praying for the killings to stop. Listen to me. There are killings, there have been killings from time immemorial. And you have not been praying for them. You've not started, you started using hashtags the moment you go to your own area. Why? Hallelujah. Is that we pray a prayer that would not be circumstance based, a prayer that is constant in season and out of season. It's called a calling, and that calling is a holy calling. That is, it's a separate calling that is specific, that is a constant. As far as we are still in the mortal body, as far as the resurrection has not passed, it is a constant that we pray for all men to be saved. It's not for the Muslim to like the Christian. No. It's not even for persecution to stop. No. We saw that in, I think it's Acts 12 last week, that they prayed for God to grant them boldness so that they will preach the gospel. They didn't pray for persecution to stop. Jesus Christ said, in this world, you will have trouble. You will have it. He didn't say, in this world, when you pray against troubles, I will take away the trouble. Hey, listen. Troubles are a constant. But you see, God wants you to pray so that in the midst of it, because all men have not faith, in the midst of it, that's why God does not change any man's will. A man has a will of his own. Alright? So you pray so that the gospel will penetrate the hearts of men. That's the prayers. These prayers are specific. You pray the word. Regardless of how you, regardless of your personal desires. We all desire a peaceful nation. Some of us like APC, as if I'm speaking as a Nigerian now, better than PDP. Some of us like YDP, that's the Democratic Party, the Youth Democratic Party. Better than any other one. We had people who were initially supporting APC but are no longer supporting due to the current EU happenings. All right? So all those things change. So are you saying it's God that changed them? No. Hallelujah. These are people who are not even born again. They just changed party. Has God changed them? No! Imagine Jesus praying for Buhari to win the election. Or praying for Joe Biden. Oh, I pray, my Heavenly Father, that Joe Biden might win this election. And he came, he's your Savior. He's your Lord. No, no. He says we ought to be imitators of Jesus Christ. The moment you begin to bring bias and sentiments into this thing, you have not known Christ. You don't respect the word enough. Because even if you want your, you have desires that, oh yes, let us use prayer work as a political movement to protest with prayers. That's just funny. The moment you begin to introduce sentiments into it that is not the word of God, you have missed it. And I call your employee to repent. Praise God. You find out that you have to pray for men to believe the gospel. Ephesians 6 verse 18 says, praying always with all prayers and supplication in the spirit. It says, and watching thereunto with all perseverance for all saints and for me. All right? That's referring to the whole armor of God, obviously. The context of the armor of God. Okay? Let's look at Ephesians 6, verse 18. I want to make sure I hit something there. Oh, praise God. All right. It says, supplication for us and for me that utterance might be given unto me, that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So you see, it talks about praying for ministers. All right? Pray in all ways. Look at Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Now, this was in the midst of persecution. This is not necessarily referring to praying for envy and anything. It was praying for the peace of God in the midst of persecution. If you read chapter 1, if you read from chapter 1, you discover that Paul was encouraging them and exhorting them and admonishing them and strengthening them because they were going through a lot of contention with the gospel. That's why I said whether they preach of out of personal gain and all that stuff, you understand. He says, nevertheless, Christ is preached. So he now encouraged them in verse 28, and nothing terrified by your adversaries. So there are people persecuting them. Verse chapter 1, verse 28. Right? He says, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but unto you of salvation and that of God. That salvation refers to salvation from the persecution. Okay? So he's asking them, look at verse, then that goes on to chapter 2, verse 12. It says, wherefore, my beloved, as I've always obeyed, not in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So this salvation refers to salvation from, not from sin, but salvation from persecution. So that the Spirit of God, the peace of God will guard their heart. That's the salvation there. For it is God that works in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. So God is with you in your walk. Right? So you just pray. And the peace of God. Say, do all things without murmurings. Keep preaching the gospel. So the people often use that to say, work out your salvation. So you have to keep walking so that, you know, you keep being saved until the rapture. That's just wrong Bible interpretation. Praise God. All right. So now, look at other scriptures. Look at Ephesians. We've seen Ephesians 1, 17 to 23. Look at Ephesians 3, verse 14. Ephesians 3 and verse 14. It says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant unto you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened. Can you see that? With might by spirit. So, in the inner man. So, there's a prayer for believers to be strengthened. Right? You pray for men who are weak in the faith. Some people, you know, if you don't pray for your disciples, that's a dangerous thing. Because as a leader, you ought to take after your flock. You ought to watch over them in prayers. Right, you might not be there with them physically, but you'll be there with them in the spirit. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6. All right, praise God. Look at another scripture. Look at Philippians 1 9. Philippians 1. Okay, we've seen all that already. Just saw that. So just saw that now. Colossians 1 verse 9. Colossians 1 verse 9 says, for this cause we also, since day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you. Desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So spiritual understanding is what we refer to in Ephesians, to understand what we have in Christ. So you pray for your disciples such prayers and they will have a spiritual understanding. It's important for that to happen. Colossians 4 verse 3 says, with all praying for also for us, that God will open unto us a door of utterance and speak the mystery of Christ. So you see, it's always revolving around the gospel prevailing, praying for safety, praying for deliverance from evil men, and then you see praying for men to come to knowledge of the truth, including disciples for spiritual growth. You can see the consistency throughout the epistles. Hallelujah. Right? So a minister said something. He says, he that will talk to men for God must talk to God for men first of all. Alright? That's where prayers are made. And these prayers are heartfelt prayers. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus says, obviously, it talks about new tongues and all those things. And 1 Corinthians 14, we know that those tongues are in the spirit, or are praying in the spirit. That's what Ephesians 6, verse 18 means by praying always with supplication in the spirit. It means speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. So every time you're praying in tongues. All right? Praying in the spirit in Jude verse 20 will let you know. Look at Jude verse 20 quickly. Jude verse 20. It says, but you, beloved, build up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So the believer builds up himself praying in the Holy Ghost. It says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking unto the mercy of the Lord unto eternal life. Right? So the believer prays in the Holy Ghost, building up himself in the faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You're looking for spiritual growth. You want fervor. It's by praying in the Holy Ghost. It's not by asking God to set you on fire. Where will you get the fire from? You are the fire, bro. Pray and stir it up. Paul tells Timothy, stir up that gift that was within you. Nobody is blessing someone. Right? First Corinthians 14 and verse 24. I encourage you to please follow. It says, verse 24 to, we're reading for 24 to 26. It says, but if all prophesy, this is referring to activities of the Spirit in the church, right? Say, if all prophesy, and there could be one that believeth not, and one that is unlearned, is convinced of all, is judged of all. Verse 25, and thus the secret of his heart are made manifest, and so falling down his face, he will worship God, and report that God is in you of the truth. This refers to people who are just coming to church and then are witnessing spiritual gifts in action, in demonstration. Verse 26, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a revelation, and has an interpretation. Let all things be done unto the edifying. In chapter 14, verse 1, in verse 1, it says, verse 2 says, for he that speaks in tongues prays not unto men, but unto God. All right? For no man understands him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaks mystery. All right? So, praying would bring you into, it puts you in an atmosphere of spiritual realities. See? Praying puts me in the atmosphere of spiritual realities. So when I pray, I'm able to engage in spiritual realities. Glory to God. We just did the first part of Gifts of the Spirit series. Please lay your hands on that as well. Get all these teachings. They are very, very, very spirit inspired or directed. They are very, very timely. You know. So use that with this. You know, you engage in spiritual realities. When you go for evangelism, you don't just go with it Eba and soup or McDonald's in your stomach. You go with prayers, fastings. You pray and you find yourself moving in the atmosphere of spiritual realities. In fact, those are even times that I've often had converts when I fasted and prayed than even common just prayers or going to. Some people actually go out to evangelize just for religious purpose. Well, so they asked you in church. If I ask you, say, when last you evangelize? Say, I just evangelized yesterday. You know, you evangelize with a heart to win a soul. And that heart must first be a heart that has prayed for men. So he that will talk to God for men must first of all, he that will talk to men for God must first of all talk to God for men. All right? Do you understand that? Look at Acts 12, verse 7. We'll soon round up. Acts 12, verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For unto one is given the Spirit of the word of wisdom, another word of knowledge by the same Spirit, another of faith of the Spirit, to another gift of healing by the same Spirit, another working of miracles, and all that stuff. All right? He knew this by revelation, found in prayers. Acts 10, look at Acts 10. Acts 10, verse 9. Acts 10, verse 9. It says, on the morrow, as they went in on the journey and drew nigh in the city, Peter went up into the house to pray about the sixth hour. Acts chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. Obviously, in Acts chapter 10, where we just read, where Peter went up to the upper room to pray. Right, when we went to the upper house, upper part of the house to pray, we can see in verse 11 that the heavens were opened, and then he received an instruction to God. So you can imagine if you say, "Oh, it is done," you won't receive anything from God, direction from God. We need to be. Look at Acts 13. It says in verse 1, now they were in the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod. All right? With Herod. Are you there? Which had been brought up with Herod. It says, Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And as they ministered unto the Lord and fasted, it says, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. Do you understand? So verse 3, it says, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So you see, fasting and prayers has to do with right, you and putting yourself in the atmosphere to receive from God, to receive the direction. You find yourself in a place where you do not know what to do. You find yourself in a place where you are not sure about the next move to make, whether it has to do with the secular things, material things. You find yourself in a place where, what do I do, especially as regards ministry? You want to start a work. You don't just go out and open a church. You don't just go out. You ought to have fasted and prayed. Some men say, so had of a brother who said, he said he wanted to start a church. And he was asking about tactics, all right, strategies on how to attract members. He said, how can I get the good drummers? All right, good sound system, good musicians. How can I, you know, put it at a strategic location? That's someone whose heart is distracted, whose heart is not on the truth. These are men you pray for. Hallelujah. You find out that in the scriptures, there's no prayer for anybody to die. Also. But you see, the prayers were made so that they put themselves to in a place where they can hear from God. As a pastor, as a minister, as a believer, you ought to give yourself to prayers for certain decisions. You want to get married to someone and you're not praying about it. You are so desperate for natural things that you have lost God's leading. Hallelujah. You are so desperate for natural things and you are not praying, you are not fasting about it. Do you understand? You ought to give yourself to prayers for these things, for every single thing. How would they have known that they needed Paul and Barnabas? They wouldn't have known that by guessing. Look at Acts 2, why they were praying in one accord. That was when they chose Matthias to replace Judas. It's after prayers. Acts 1. Excuse me. After they had prayed and fasted, he didn't just come. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And these prayers, they are prayed in long hours. They are not just prayed casually, lackadaisically. Your heart has to be involved in it. Oh, someone say, ah, Namiki Jesus. Now you, you don't know. Praise God. Hallelujah. Nobody killed Jesus, but it was sin in man that killed Jesus, that stirred man to kill Jesus. But in that killing was found the plan of God executed, accomplished for the salvation of men from sins eternally. So now we pray for this to happen, and this is done in agony. It's not easy. It is very, very difficult and distressing. It is very difficult. It's hard. Don't let anybody say, I just love on God. I don't really shout. I just affirm words. I just love on God. You know, sometimes I just sleep on my bed and I just communicate with the Father. I just say, Daddy, are you there listening to me? If Jesus prayed for you like that, do you think you'll be saved? Do you think that's God though? That's God in agony. Are you a disciple of Jesus? Praise God. So you find Jesus praying in agony. In agony. It's not these days I've understood what God has for me. I don't need to even shout. You know, how many of you talk to your parents and then you shout at them and say, Daddy, 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 this, I need that. How many of you do that? Listen, you're not praying to ask from God. You are praying the will of God on earth. So it's actually not you receiving anything that God is giving you, because you already have all spiritual blessings in heaven place in Christ. That is, you have Christ. So it's not because you have Christ, you now exact what Christ wants on the world. By the power of Christ that dwells in you. So technically, you are not really praying to God, but you are praying with the God inside of you. You are allowing the influence of the Spirit to walk through you by your words. Are you there? Do you understand? So why would a believer
pray and fast. He's praying and fasting because of the will of God, because of the importance of this. And these things are not done easily. It's not by saying, oh, they don't know the word, they are doing 30 days fasting. Hey! They might be doing it for the wrong reasons, but the practice itself is scriptural. It is proper. It is not, a man that doesn't fast has not become any more mature than a man who does. In fact, a man who does is probably more, like, most likely more mature than the one who doesn't. Yeah. You know, someone says, God will trust a man of prayers than he trusts a man of the word. And you find that most times, a man of the word should be or would be a man of prayers. How would they have known Halabasa? How would they have understood God's will in separating Paul and Barnabas? Where would the New Testament come from? Some of you want to make very important decisions about even things like your job. And you just go casually. You've not gone to the place of prayer. You've not spent time in prayers. Before I started this ministry, I declared months of fasts. I declared a lot, months of dedication to God. All right. I made sure I stayed consistently in the place of prayers. All right. That was the moment I made sure. It was so much. Because, of course, I didn't fast for as long as the whole year or anything, but I took some time off. Really, I took some time to fast, to pray. Why? Because you must hear from God. And I know that if things are not done the way, all right, that God did them through me by his leading and direction, you find that I would have probably been somewhere else, thinking I'm actually progressing. But I'm not progressing. It was in the midst of this thing that one day I was doing my Bible teaching and no one came. What comforted me, first of all, was the fact that I knew that I was doing God's will. No one came. The day that guy came, it was a new convert. That day, I was prepared to, if there were probably 1,000 dead men, I would have raised them all. How spiritually prepared I was. I was cooked. I was boiling. I was hot, ready to serve. All right. It was like there was something high like kata. There was that meeting was going to be something else. But you see, just one man came, and he received life in Christ. And that was the man, that guy, he faithfully, that's why I was back then studying, doing my master's, you know, this Korean brother. And got him filled with the Holy Ghost after a while, after some meetings. The others, they stopped, they were not really coming because they had other priorities, you understand. They were not seeing what was going on yet. Some of them called me heretic and all that stuff, you know. It was actually the place of prayer. Gradually, all of them repented. You know what I mean by repented? Change of mind to believe the truth. And now most of them are still very, very funny, but they are now are not singing the same things we have been singing about new creation and forgiveness of sins and all that stuff. Yeah, it was not because I knew what to say or had scriptures in my head. Never. In fact, the meetings I had with them when they finally wanted to now finally learn from me, when they eventually now started to want to learn from me, even though I still saw their hearts, but I saw it first of all in the place of prayers. I saw it first. I spoke it. It didn't come as a shocker to me. So everything that's happening to a man of prayers can never be new to him. Do you understand? But you have to be in the place of prayers to know what God wants you to do. And distractions, even legitimate things in the natural realm, would want to distract you from this. But you must discipline yourself to pray. So there's new God, there's God's forgiveness of sins, there's the fact that we are eternally justified, but there's a place of us now giving our lives to Christ, sacrifice for men who need to grow spiritually, who need to be delivered, who need to be blessed, who need to have the peace of God in their hearts, for men to be saved, for all who are in authority. These are why we pray. These are the reasons we pray. Hallelujah. It's a burden in prayers. And finally, like I said, we pray for disciples. Philemon verse 4. Firstly, Romans chapter 1 verse 9. And I'll close with Philemon verse. Are you blessed? Romans 1. Romans 1 verse 9. He says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son, and that without ceasing, can you see that? I make mention of you always in my prayers. Making requests by any means, now at length I might have preparation to, by the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you that I might impart in you some spiritual gift, that at the end you may be established. That I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith of both you and me. So you see, he's praying for his disciples to grow spiritually. Hallelujah. It says without ceasing. Pray for them. You discover that they will not see growth. I'm not talking about necessarily. Yes, growth happens in numbers in church, right? It must happen, right? You ought to understand that in any church that Christ has given us the ability to pray and growth to happen numerically. But see, it's not just by numbers. Numbers is not really the major thing, because Christ didn't have much numbers. He had only 12. Even the 12 amongst them was a devil. Okay. Some who did not believe in him, Judas Iscariot, even though Judas performed miracles in his name, he did not believe the gospel. Alright? Jesus Christ in John 6 said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. And the many disciples he had following him because of the bread and all the miracles and all those things, they left him. So, numbers is not a judge for God's approval, alright? In ministry, in someone's ministry, it should be the word, the doctrine of Christ. Okay, don't join the church because they because of numbers or whatever, ambience, choir, all that stuff. Join because of the word, message of Christ. And I'm not talking about churches that now say, oh, we have the word, and then we now have no. It's about the doctrine of Christ, where Christ is celebrated and the things of the Spirit is celebrated, and nothing else but the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Okay, so. How did I get there? So Paul prays for his disciples. That's why he's praying. Philemon verse 4. Close with that. So yeah, you pray for them to grow spiritually, and then you pray for them to be established in the faith. So nothing actually shocks you. Nothing actually comes like a new thing to you. All right. Look at Philemon. Excuse me. Philemon verse 4 just has one chapter. Philemon verse 4 says, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus Christ, that the communication of your faith may be made effectual by knowledge of good things which is in you in Christ Jesus. So he's praying for them to have the acknowledgement of what they have in Christ. Alright? Praying for his disciples. That word acknowledgement is for them to come to a precise understanding of what Christ has done in them and what they have in Christ. That's what we read in Ephesians 1. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we ought to give ourselves to prayers. Hallelujah. We're going to pray today. We're going to pray. Just pray. Hallelujah. Lift your hands. Praise God. We're going to pray. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's not easy, but we're going to keep praying. And there's no break. There's no retirement. We thank you, Lord. But we have now graduated. There's no graduation in prayers. Ministry is ministry till we sleep. And we'll look at that in another series of prayers as God will have it. Praise God. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared out. Don't be scared of. No. The one that walks inside of you is the one that walks with you. You will grow. Don't be too concerned about the spiritual things that you don't have, or the fact that, oh, I don't have the love of God that much, I don't really like all this. No, listen. You have believed the gospel, and that thing is inside of you. Don't be afraid of people who are there on fire for God. Even those people too, there are times they don't feel like it. In fact, many times. As I'm talking to you today, I didn't feel like it. But you see, you trust God, and you pray. It's at that moment where you are not ready. That true growth is birth. Look at if someone like Peter, someone like Paul, lazy men, tax collectors, people who couldn't pray for 1 hour. Look at how God used them by the Spirit. You have the Spirit of God. Say, I have the Spirit of God inside of me. Say, I can pray. I can stay away from the distraction of this world and still pray. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's just pray. Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost. Bible says, we pray for men. We pray for the gospel to prevail. We pray for spiritual growth. Hallelujah. We pray. Kabados, tivimazuz, daki, dabrama, no.